At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive.
All right. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast. My name is Melody Hartzler, and today I get to spend some time with Dr. Robert Silverman. So Dr. Silverman is a chiropractic doctor. He's a clinical nutritionist, a national and international speaker, and author of Amazon's number one bestseller, Inside Out Health. He's also the founder and CEO of Westchester Integrative Health Center and graduated magna cum laude from the University of Bridgeport College of Chiropractic, has a master's in science and human nutrition, and he is also involved with the ACA Sports Council, which named him the Sports Chiropractor of the Year in 2015. So he is also very active in the functional medicine community and has been on the advisory board for the Functional Medicine University and is a seasoned health and wellness expert. So we're so thankful that you would take the time to join us today. And we've got the opportunity to talk about your new book as well. But before we get started, anything else that you want to add to your bio?
I've been practicing 24 years, got a lot of patient experience, and really want to highlight how important our immune system is. It's been the conversation piece without question for over 3 years, and how its tentacles are through all the other systems in our bodies.
Awesome. Awesome. So just to get started then, tell us what you feel is the health problem in America today. What is the big, like we have this standard American diet, all of the conversations surrounding toxins and things, but is that the big thing or what's going on with the health and our chronic disease epidemic?
You hit a couple of really good points. As it's been said, the standard American diet will give you the standard American diseases.
Absolutely.
So if anything, COVID showed us one thing, that the American population is unhealthy. Our immune systems are not robust. So we could argue in the methodology, but we both know that alternative medicine imbues our immune system to be more potent. That said, some of the biggest problems is the fact that 75% of Americans are overweight, obese. We're consuming too much sugar. The average American consumes 160 pounds of sugar per year. It's extraordinarily deleterious to everybody's overall health. Sugar is the most overused over-the-counter drug in America. Works with the reward center in the brain. Come on, we give it to our children to make them happy. We take it to make us happy. Don't we get that immediate knee-jerk reaction when we're depressed or we need a little high, if you will? There's our sugar. So people are consuming too much sugar. They're consuming too much gluten. As you said, they're exposed to too many pollutants. All of these lead to a decrease in our immune system function. And that was evident with COVID. And it's evident now because people still aren't addressing the needs to have a good quality immune system.
Sure. So what drove you to write this book? So I have a copy of it right here, The Immune Reboot, is Dr. Silverman's new book. So tell us about the process for this, where you started, and what you hope people get out of this.
It was a personal and a professional process at the same point. A lot of my patients, and I take my patients as my friends, as an extension of my family. I live in New York, and I was 6 weeks from the epicenter in, let's call it March of 2020. There was no real place to go. There was no answers, and there was nobody telling us really what to do, especially at a local level. So it was very disconcerting to see people get sick and not respond to what was deemed at the time a flu, if you will. Now, take a step later, my mom, I think she was 91 at the time, got it. And she lost her balance from it. She no longer could walk from it. And she had a tremendous amount of decrease in cognition. So when you walk in to see your mom, even though she is older, without question, you know, she got a little mileage on her, and she doesn't call you by your first name or your nickname, and she's calling you by your Hebrew name, which you've never heard her say in 45 years, something is awry. And I wanted to put my head to the grindstone, if you will, and try and figure out. And Immune Reboot is basically 2.5 years of research and 2.5 years of treating patients, hoping that we will not have the same problem, and really trying to excite the American populace to want to take care of one of their most important systems in the body, because we know functional medicine is all about systems, i.e. their immune system.
Yes, for sure. Just for our listeners, because some of them are healthcare providers, but some of them are just patients that want to have better health and in various ways in their life. So tell us about how the immune system should work.
Well, a perfect immune system is interesting. And I think some of the misconceptions are that people don't realize there's three lines of defense. Our first line of defense is our skin. Now, it's interesting, if we cut our skin, we know enough to put a Band-Aid on it to protect what goes in. Mm-hmm. However, which we're going to get to in a second, if we cut our gut, we don't know because we can't see it to put a Band-Aid mm-hmm. and heal our gut. And that's the problem. So visually, we understand. And that's why your courses and taking the idea of functional medicine and changing your world really opens you up to the concept of what's going on inside the body, which will perpetrate outside of the body. So the first line mm-hmm. of defense, again, is your skin, but it's also your digestive tract. Everything from your mouth through your anus is your first line of defense. The body's an amazing organism. If I were to drink motor oil right now, I would regurgitate. If not, I would blow it out the back. It's the ability to protect your immune system or something sure. passing your small intestine. It has been purported that the first sign of the outside world meeting the inside world is something that gets digested through your small intestine into your bloodstream. Now, everybody knows about our immune system in that we have an innate immune system. We're born with it. It's neutrophils, it's macrophages, it's our 365, 24/7 security guards. They're sentinels of our immune system. They're actually really stealthy. And it's really interesting in that they blow everything up and they should communicate with our adaptive and our specific defense immune system. I just asked you if you had children. So, you know, you have younger children in that they go to-
And they right. bring me lots of bugs sometimes from kindergarten.
Great. That's a great point. It's exactly the road I wanted to go down in that when you go to school at 4 or 5 or 6, what happens? They get sick mm-hmm. and they build up an immunity. That secondary adaptive acquired immunity is something you get through life and you produce B and T cells. Not to be too technical, T cells come from your thymus. It's a very interesting gland because it's mm-hmm. the first gland in your body to go through involution. It shrinks. It shrinks as a teenager. So we already have immune compromise when we've finished our teenage years. Amazing. Now our T cells, which come from our thymus, recognize things. So they go foreigner, attacker. And then they come out and they work within our other part of our adaptive immune system, which are called antibodies. Those antibodies are IgA, IgM, and they memorize and they categorize and catalog what they've seen. The key to producing a good antibody or an IgG is that it has to have a direct kill. So I take a picture of you and I look at you and you come and attack me again. I have an IgG to match you, mm-hmm. not your sister who's fraternal, not right. your cousin, not your daughter. I'm not able to have a direct kill. And that is the problem with the immune system today, that our immune systems are not resilient. They're not flexible. So when we produce antibodies, our antibodies don't match the actual new mutation. And that's why we still get sick.
All right. So if our immune system is gone awry or it doesn't have the tools to be adaptive or flexible, what is it that we can do to help our immune system now be flexible and be able to handle these other modified organisms that are coming at us?
You know, you can't control the virus, but you can control the host. So let's make ourselves a robust, inhospitable host for pathogens. So let's start with foods, because everything starts with food, because good food is a potentiator for health information in the body. Bad food is a potentiator for inflammation in the body. Which do you want? So let's avoid some certain foods. Let's use some acronyms like GPS and DNA. GPS, no gluten, no processed food, and no added sugar. DNA, no dairy. And I know if they're watching from the Midwest, I do apologize. I was just in Wisconsin and I said that, and that did really not go over all that well, but they understood why. The N and the DNA is no nicotine, and A, no artificial sweeteners. Artificial sweeteners are very detrimental to overall health. They cause leaky gut. They increase the incidence of dementia and stroke by 2 to 3 times. Follow what I like to refer to as an anti-inflammatory diet. So avoid vegetable oils or seed oils. There's no vegetables in vegetable oils. If you use an app, and I think it's called Seed Oil Scout, okay. you would be shocked at how many few options you have to eat out on people who are just using extra virgin olive oil or alternative like avocado oil. So be real cautious, because a lot of people say they have olive oil now, and it's 51% olive oil and 49% canola oil. Control your glycemic index and load. Watch your sugar. 300 calories of sugar consumption at one time will decrease your immune function by 50% over 2 hours. Here's a little story. During COVID, I'm traveling, so we're wearing masks to protect ourselves. And the line on Starbucks is long. I try to avoid Starbucks coffee. And they're all ordering Frappuccino. So here we are in an airport. A lot of people, not necessarily clean air. wearing a mask, but they're knocking down 50%. It's insane. And for me, I think one of the biggest things is to detect and avoid food sensitivities. That's very different than food allergies. For me, food sensitivities are one of the biggest reasons for hitting and chronic inflammation, because there's a 72-hour lag from the time of consumption to the time of symptomology appearing. So for me, food sensitivities is a critical element. And you guys all know that I'm affiliated with KBMO Diagnostics. So shameless plug, but nevertheless, they have by far the best food sensitivity test, the FIT 176. To speak to what you said before, the environmental overload, the pollution and everything. I mean, if you live by a highway, you're going to be exposed. I'm a New York City guy, so when I go in the street to get fresh air, I'm not so sure that the air is fresh.
Sure. Yes. And speaking of the KBMO test, if people are interested that are listening to this, we do have that on our website. If you go to thefarmtotable.life and click on store, you can type in fit test, and we can also put that link in the show notes. But it's definitely a really good tool to figure out, like you said, the food sensitivities and what is triggering inflammation and throwing this immune system off balance. And then it's not a forever don't eat these foods, but let's cut them out for a period of time, help your body restore that gut barrier that you talk so much about. We talk so much about the importance of that. And then slowly adding them back in, especially for people that have this dysfunctional immune system to the point of autoimmune conditions, right? The people that like are this inflammation. So let's talk a little bit about that. How does someone go from like just having immune dysfunction to autoimmunity? Like, what's the pathway there?
Wow. You just walked into my wheelhouse. Let's stay here for 3 hours. I love it. The first thing is, you know, remember we talked the first time the outside world meets the inside world, it's something that passes the gut. So when we talk about the gut, we're really talking about absorption through the small intestine, which is really not small. It's 90 to 95% of the length. It's about 22 feet long in an average American. It covers the surface area when unraveled of a tennis to a basketball court. It's a single layer epithelial cell, which has the thickness of a wet paper towel. That said, its permeability or increased intestinal permeability is a critical element towards autoimmunity. I'm a big believer in that. I would test and not guess. So again, we come back to which something you alluded to, the KBMO test has a gut barrier panel, which will tell you if you have a candida overgrowth, occluding and zonulin with their tight junction proteins, which imply a break in the tight junctions. And coming out in the next week or two is an LPS, which is a great ad because lipopolysaccharide will really imply autoimmunity because this is an endotoxin. So let's get into the details because the devil's always in the details. It's real simple. Yes. When something passes the gut and gets into the bloodstream, your immune system has two buttons. It's very simplistic, self and foreign. So if it's self, it lets it float around and go through. If it's foreign, it attacks it. It's kind of like wearing the right color uniform or the wrong color uniform and walking into a base. That's what the immune system does. Unfortunately, with autoimmunity, foods, large undigested food particles, have a protein sequence like a zip code that mimic a lot of structures in the body and that puts your immune system on alert. And that immune system confuses itself between, say, your joint and a food particle like a gluten and a dairy. And it attacks that gluten and dairy, but it also attacks the associated joint with a similar protein sequence, hence the idea of autoimmunity. So the cascade is simple. It's localized inflammation, systemic inflammation because it's in the blood, and ultimately autoimmunity because we attack ourselves. A great example of autoimmunity is rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, we see a lot of patients with rheumatoid, Hashimoto's, or attacking the thyroid glands. We get even like fibromyalgia patients tend to be patients that are on this like autoimmune spectrum and have that trouble with that inflammation response and do so much better after figuring out what it is that's triggering this. And most of the time, in my experience, it's not just the food sensitivities, right? It's like the underlying cause of why the food sensitivities occurred in the first place, the dysbiosis, the SIBO, the fungal overgrowth. Like, we have to figure all that out at the same time. Because I've had patients that come to me. I had a guy who had psoriasis and he had just food sensitivity testing from another provider years ago, took out those foods, psoriasis calmed down. He was like, oh, I'm better. I just have to avoid these foods forever.
But that wasn't the root. The root is that his digestion was impaired, his gut was impaired, and so then developed more food sensitivities later on to different foods and had psoriasis flares again, when in reality, when we did the gut testing, he's got two bugs, of the yeast bug and of a bacterial bug, had some inflammation. So really getting back to addressing those things along with the new food sensitivities at the same time, so we decrease inflammation as we move forward. So super important. I know autoimmunity is increasing because of so many of these inputs to our environment and the effect on the gut. So it's just amazing to watch patients like that, that the standard system would say, you need an immunosuppressant drug to fix this. And in reality, there's certainly room for that, in at least in my mind, and people that are having severe symptoms, to calm the system, to get them to a place where they actually can do some of these other interventions, especially in things like IBD that might be life-threatening. But this idea that healing the gut is the tool, I think, is super important. Your 7 action plans, we talked a little bit about some of those things that you remove. Is that what you're considering, the 7-R action plan? Or can you run through that again as far as this specific 7 R's that you talk about in the book?
I'd be so happy to. So the first R is reset. Reset your diet, your mindset, and your lifestyle. For me, this is what we call N of one. So I take all these data points and I try and individualize and personalize it for you, for me, for my wife, whoever I'm sitting in front of. But the reset is really resetting and realizing that health is wealth. You know, a healthy person wants 1,000 things. An unhealthy person wants one. And it starts with resetting your lifestyle and your mindset that health is wealth. 2, the remove really speaks to the idea of removing what? Removing triggers. So one of the biggest triggers is going to be food. So that's where that food sensitivity test becomes so prominent. You can take away the foods that they're sensitive to. You made a truly salient point in that just because you're sensitive to a food, you don't have to lose that food for perpetuity. There's a duration of time. And just as a little aside, you typically have a food sensitivity because you may have a digestion problem. You may have a gut barrier problem, and we all can have little dysfunctions in our immune system. 2% of the foods that we consume, even with a perfectly pristine gut, will still have an immune reaction just because our immune system always has to stay sharp. So don't lose it because you see a food sensitivity, address it and remove it. And what else would you remove? You would use specific nutrients to remove bacteria, fungi, like you said, parasites and the such. So you're looking at oregano oil, berberine, garlic. You're looking at something that we refer to a biofilm buster. Huge takeaway, biofilm. They're bacteria igloos. 80% of the bacterial infections we have in our gut have a biofilm, and that was from the NIH. So you take this biofilm buster that kind of cracks open the nut, and then you take something like SBI, and it comes in and mops it away. It's a direct binder. And this way you're going to be able to have resolution. The third one would be replace. You would replace what? You replace digestive enzymes, pancreatic enzymes, increase bile flow, which is critical. There's a hidden gem there. The fourth is regenerate. We could be here all day with regenerate. It's where you give a plethora of nutrients to allow for a pleiotropic effect, where you heal and seal the gut lining, and you also create an anti-inflammatory environment in the gut. The fifth one is reinoculate, pre and probiotics. That's a whole webinar in itself. The sixth is retest and reintroduce. So this is where you would retest those food sensitivities, which are so critical. Critical element. And so say you had 15 sensitivities, and now you have 3. Now you can add in all those other 12 foods. And that regenerative phase, if I could go back in time one moment, is really based on the nutrients. Do you have a leaky gut? Do you have a candida overgrowth? Is it LPS, etc.? And to finish up, you want to retain your health. Retain your health how? Good lifestyle, diet, maybe sauna, maybe a cold plunge, multivitamin, multi-mineral, and still avoiding gluten and dairy and decreasing sugar at virtually all costs.
Yes, yes. Awesome. So we have a lot of people that present with long COVID symptoms. Is that the process that you're walking through with the long COVID patients as well? Or are there additional recommendations you have for those people? Or if you even wanted to sort of start by defining what is long COVID, we can start there.
You know, it's really interesting. The definition of long COVID has gone through a metamorphic change. One, they used to call it long hauler syndrome. And that was coined in May of 2020 by a Twitter expert, because she said, I've been sick for 2 months, I'm long hauling. Original definition of long haul, or long COVID, if you will, was very simple in that it was referred to for 1 month of symptomology. The number was so high, they changed it to 3 months. So you have symptoms 3 months after popping your first negative test. So when you're looking at a long haul or a long COVID protocol, you're looking at helping gut health, mitochondria support, immune activation, and managing and modulating inflammation in the patient, trying to bring the obesity down, any blood sugar issues, or any anti-inflammatory status. The biggest issue in long COVID or long haulers is the decreased fatigue. So you've got to improve mitochondrial function. So I'm a big proponent of getting NMN, which makes NAD+, B vitamins, coenzyme Q10, acetyl L-carnitine, alpha lipoic acid, L-glutathione, magnesium, zinc, selenium, and vitamin C. So that's my potion, if you will, if I was a nutty professor. That's what I want to give everybody. There's other things. I mean, resveratrol, BPC 157, on and on. Lifestyle. I might as well hit that. Diet and lifestyle. Maybe the big thing in lifestyle is going to be your intermittent fasting. Man, what a great lifestyle hack. When you think about it, it's free, it's cheap, and everybody can intermittent fast. When I say everybody can intermittent fast, we'll just say all men can intermittent fast to the tune of any hours that they want. Women are a different issue, and that's probably for another conversation.
Right. However,
and we've had these conversations, and they're lengthy. I apologize. I'm really sorry that it's harder for you in the 52% of the population than it is for me. My wife has an answer for that. She says the reason that it's more difficult is that you guys can handle it, and we couldn't.
Yeah. We have that. The different hormone cascade, I think, plays a big role in why women can, but we don't have the literature to support the women either, right? We have so much of this intermittent fasting data is in men. And I think from my perspective, the 12-hour break for your gut is still a great option for women too, making sure you don't eat after dinner until breakfast. But yeah, that whole 16-hour fast may not be, because there's some studies that women who skipped breakfast had lower GLP-1 responses or worsening glucose after their lunch because they skipped breakfast versus the people that didn't skip breakfast. So then you're adding that, you're like, wait a second. In a perfect world, I think women skipping dinner might be a better option. But in America, like, dinner is our communal time to be together. So I think, we just need more research there for women for sure to see if that really is going to impact. Because I have so many metabolic patients. So I take care of patients with diabetes. And so many of them say, I don't eat breakfast. I haven't ate breakfast forever. And they all have diabetes. So clearly there's something else to this picture, right? Because if they were all like intermittent fasting, and a lot of these are women, right? And once we get that broken metabolic system too, the intermittent fasting for some women with the hormone changes can definitely be challenging. So I don't want to segue us too much onto the intermittent fasting conversation, but let's circle back to food. We know that all those vitamins and nutrients are great. We know that we can take like these panacea supplements and try to really get a lot of nutrients for our mitochondria, which for those listening that don't know about the mitochondria, that's like the powerhouse of energy in all of our cells that really helps to drive so much of our energy balance and our metabolism and the immune system function, and everything needs a strong start with the mitochondria. But what kinds of, we're always talking about a food first approach as far as like, how do we get the most from what we're eating? You talked about a lot of the things we remove, but what are your top immune boosting foods for what we actually add to our diet?
That's a great question, because everything starts with food. So even though we talk supplements, we've talked all these other things, everything starts with food, and then we test and not guess, and then we apply what we need. So for me, you said 10 foods. I'm going to give you 11 because I'm going to give you a plus one.
Like a baker's dozen.
So number one is avocado. It's a beautiful fruit. It's a fatty fruit. It's got great monounsaturated fats. Number two, and this is not order of importance, this is just off the top of my head, if you will. Blueberry. I mean, any kind of berry will signify blueberries. A lot of polyphenols, a lot of antioxidants, great immune promoting fiber, great for brain boosting, works very synergistically with the immune system. Bone broth and everybody's ethnic medicinal food, chicken soup.
Yes.
Bone broth is great. I bet if I asked you, have you had bone broth in the last 4 days, what would you say?
So maybe I have it in something, but not drinking it by itself. I used to try to drink it by itself, but I can't do that.
So my wife has got a great recipe, and I'm happy to share it with everybody. In that yesterday we were having a meal, and in the meal there was bone broth all around it.
Yes. Yeah,
it's not a scoop. Yeah. Yes. So another one. Yeah, bone broth. So I'll share that with you so you can put it in your notes. Another one, I think the fourth one would be dark chocolate. We want 70% or more.
I've definitely had that in the last 4 days.
That's good to know. I feel better about you now with that dark chocolate. Love it. And when I'm done here, I'm going to need a little snack. I'm going to go for some dark chocolate. Fermented
blueberry dark chocolate.
Wow. Now, there you go. I like that. Instead of the strawberries, went for the blueberries because you knew the strawberries were high on the dirty closet.
Yes, there you go.
Fermented vegetables, kimchi, sauerkraut. Dill pickles, they're great because they're gut-promoting food. Kale, mushrooms, pasture-raised eggs. Eggs are a superfood. They do not raise cholesterol. Put it to bed. Raw nuts, almonds, walnuts, pistachios, cashews, and macadamia nuts. A little factoid, macadamia nuts have the most monounsaturated fats out of all of the nuts. Red bell peppers, and lastly, seeds. You know, rocket ships for omega-3 would be chia seeds. So that would be my 11th one. Love my chia seeds.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and those are all great things. And so many ways you can spin each thing and incorporate those into just your put blueberries on salads or ways to add some of those extra antioxidants into your normal diet. Awesome. Let's finish up with longevity. So this is like a big topic right now. Like everybody's talking about how do we have better longevity? So not only just living longer, but living at a fuller capacity during that time and having more of that healthy living in a longer period of time. So what role does immunity play in that longevity conversation?
Wow, here it is. Longevity is turning on the health switches to improve your health span. The master switch to longevity and health span is that having a strong, robust, functioning, immune-resilient immune system.
Anything else that you want to share about supporting their immune system that they need to be doing now or into the future to really turn on that health span for them?
Yeah, and we can expand a little bit more on the health span. It's health span versus lifespan, that idea. Sure. So again, exercise, modify your stress, eat good quality foods, keep a strong, pristine gut barrier, avoid food sensitivities. Try and not eat processed foods. One of the biggest things, one of the hacks would be processed foods. 63% of the calories consumed by Americans are processed food. 67% of our teenagers' calories are from processed foods. If we can get it out, that would be great. Jack O'Lane, the fitness guru, he actually was a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. And he said, if man makes it, I won't eat it. So I think it's overall applying all these things and really so many patients, and I know you can relate to this, you go over things. And they look at you and they don't know if there's value to it. They don't know if it's worthwhile. It's hard to change. Jim Rome said, take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. You cannot replace it, but you can rejuvenate it.
Yes, yes. Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. Tell us where they can find you, our listeners can find you and find the book.
Real simple. My website and any of my social media channels are drrobertsilverman.com.
Awesome. And we'll link his book in the show notes, The Immune Reboot. And we make sure that our listeners can find you to learn more about the immune system. So thanks again for your time today. We really appreciate you coming on the Table Talk podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was great. And you do a great job there. Keep it up, please.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.